The format for data processing instruction that we have just described allows us to understand also the need for the reverse subtract instruction. In fact, if we have the second operand expressed as a shift plus a register or a rotate plus an immediate operand, it is clear that it is not possible to reverse the operation simply by inverting the registers, because the second operand could be, yes, a register, but if this register would be shifted, it is not possible to express such a kind of operation inverting the field that is made by 12 bits with the field of the first operand, Rn, that is identified by only 5 bits. In slide 33, some comparison instructions are presented. We have the compare, for example, x minus epsilon, that is the comparison is performed in as a subtraction without affecting the operands on which the operation is done. Negated compare, that is, in this case we perform a subtraction between a value and the negated of the other one. The test, bitwise AND, that is a comparison in AND mode between two operands, between a register and another register, but the result is not used, is discarded. And the same, TEQ, bitwise XOR test, that is again like the EOR instruction, but without affecting the registers involved. These instructions, therefore, set only the flag bits of the current program status register. We have also transfer instructions shown in slide 44, move and move negated. Move R0, R1, for example, sets R0 with the value of the register R1, and move negated R0, R1 sets R0 with the value of R1 negated. Other load store instructions are LDR, LDR age, LDR B, that is load a byte, a word and a half word, and of course we have also the corresponding store instructions. It is interesting to analyze the addressing modes that are used in with such instructions. The first is called register indirect, and is a typical addressing mode into which the, for example, load instruction has the first register as a destination 1, while the second operand is an indirect addressing through a register. It is shown in the picture, in the slide, and R1 is contained into brackets, and the syntax is the content of the memory location addressed by the value contained in R1 will be written in R0. Register indirect. Another mode is that foresees the presence of an offset of a displacement indicated expressed by a register. LDR R0 R1 minus R2 in the brackets, that is the content of the memory location addressed by R1 plus minus R2 will be written in R0. So again, we use R0 as destination. We use an approach of register indirect addressing, But in this case, the address of the memory location to which we want to make the access is expressed by a subtraction of the values contained into two registers. Of course, it is possible also to express the displacement as a constant, and therefore we have LDR, R0, R1 plus R4 in brackets, that is the address of the memory location R1 plus 4 will provide a content, and that content will be written in the register R0. Therefore, we can express in slide 46 the format for load store instructions. It is not far from the format of the data processing instructions, at least as a general philosophy. The first 4 bits from 31 to 28 correspond to the conditional field, that is the possible execution of the instruction under a certain condition, the occurrence of a certain event or set of events. 01, the bits 27, 26 correspond to the memory access format. I, as in the data processing, is the bit that says if the offset is expressed by a constant, an immediate value, or by a register eventually shifted. P, the bit 24, corresponds to the pre-post indexing bit. In other words, we will see that some options are left to the programmer to pre or post add the offset to the current address considered after the transfer or before the transfer. U is the up-down bit that says if the offset must be added or let's say subtracted by the the value contained in the base register. B indicates if we are transferring words or bytes. W indicates if write back must be executed or not. L indicates if the memory transfer is a load or a store. And Rn is the base register, that is the register that contains the base address eventually to be incremented or decremented with the offset. Rd, that corresponds to bit 15 up to 12, is the destination register, and offset can be expressed in two modes. The first is 12 bits devoted to a constant value, and the second is register that will contain the offset amount to which eventually a shift can be applied. This is very important when we have to decide automatically to update the address by the amount that corresponds to the size of the transfer we are doing. For example, if we are transferring words, it is clear that the next address will be 4 bytes after the present one, so we can shift the offset by multiplying it by 4, and this means that the offset will be expressed simply by an index integer, that is probably the index of the array that we are considering. These two options are, let's say, decided on the basis of the content of the bit 25, the I. And slide 37 indeed refers to those addressing modes that we mentioned describing the load store format, data processing, data transferring format. The first is the so-called base plus offset addressing. It's a classic kind of addressing. The example is load into the register R0 the content of the memory location addressed by R1 plus 16. The second presents an exclamation point at the end of the instruction. Load in R0 the content of R1 plus 16, the content of the memory location addressed by R1 plus 16, and R1 at the end of this instruction will be incremented by 16. The third one is an instruction into which post indexing is carried out. Load R0, R1 and 16. That is, load in R0 the content of the memory location addressed by R1. Then add 16 to R1. So we have three possibilities. In the first case, the memory will be charged, will be loaded with a content of a register that, however, will be not upgraded at the end of the instruction. The second is a memory transfer with the content of a location corresponding to the upgraded value of a register into another register. The third corresponds to the memory load of a location of memory addressed by the content of a register, and after the memory transferring, the register will be updated. In ARM, it is not possible to refer to an address in a direct way into an instruction. In fact, the address of the instruction is 32-bit wide, and this is also the dimension of the instruction itself. So there is no space for other things, for example, for the opcode of the instruction, and clearly this prevents from referring to the address within the instruction itself. Rather, the address is generated by performing a suitable arithmetic on the program counter, that is the target address to which we want to jump is obtained by calculating the offset, the displacement that must be necessarily added to the current value of the program counter. All these operations are performed by the compiler that decodes a suitable instruction that is called ADR, that is available to the programmer, with which the address, in this case represented by the label FOO, is loaded into the register R1. This is not an original instruction set operation of in the ARM processor, instead is a pseudo operation. In slide 49 we have the first example of code assembly code in ARM language, and this is a very simple code that performs an addition, a sum, I mean, and a subtraction, but we see how to use the instruction that we have just now mentioned, the ADR, the address, let's say, that assigns the address of the variable A to R4, then allows to perform the loading from that address to R0, and executes the same operations for the variables B and C. So the address of B is loaded in R4 and the content of that memory location is loaded in R1. The same for C that is loaded in R2. And in slide 50 we have the conclusion of such a very elementary algorithm performing the subtraction of R3 and R2. The result is stored in R3 and finally stored in the memory location corresponding to the variable X. Slide 51 and 52 presents the example of the assembly code relative to an operation of multiply and accumulate, not performed in a unique operation but with few instructions. I left the analysis to you because it is a very simple piece of code to be understood. And finally, we have third small and simple algorithm that corresponds to OR logical operation between the results of other two operations. The first corresponds to the left shift applied to the variable A, two positions shift. And the second is the AND between the variable B and 15. So we see that the address instruction loads the value of the address corresponding to the variable A in R4. Then the content of that memory location is loaded into R0. So R0 has the value of the variable A, that is shifted left two positions. We appreciate this in the instruction move R0 R0 LSL2 that helps us to understand how an operand of an instruction, in this case a memory transfer instruction, can be shifted. You remember in the format that the operand could have the field relative to a register, but also the field relative to the amount of the shifting that must be performed. In this case, LSL means left shift logical, and 2 means two positions left. So this value, R0, after the shift, is loaded again in R0. A similar procedure is applied to the variable B, apart the fact that B is ended with a direct operand and immediate value 15, and the result is in R1. Then the OR instruction applies the OR logic function to the two registers R0, R1, and the result is again in R1. And finally, R1 is stored in the memory location R4 that corresponds to the address of the variable Z as required by the C code that we have seen. In slide 54, we see the possible conditions under which we can perform the operations in ARM programming model related to the value of the flag contained in the current program status register. We can execute under the condition of equality, of difference between two values, of carry set or carry clear. We can test the condition of minority, of a result that should be non-negative, or under the presence of overflow or no overflow. We can also test if a value is higher than another one, or lower same with respect another operand, under the conditions of greater equal, less than, greater than, and less equal. All these operations very often oblige, let's say, the code, the execution of a program, to perform a jump, that is, to avoid the serial execution of the next instruction with respect to the present one. A branch is expressed in the ARM assembly language through the instruction B, followed by the address of the memory location containing the next instruction that must be executed. For example, in this slide you see B100, that means we have to jump to perform the new instruction that is contained at the address 100. And clearly such a kind of branches can be executed under the several conditions that can be considered in such a kind of programming model, whose let's say a not exhaustive list is presented in the slide 55. You see in the first column of the table the so-called mnemonic extension, that is the acronym that expresses the condition we are testing, and that will be included into the code: equal, not equal, carry set, carry not set, negative, positive or zero, overflow, not overflow, unsigned, greater than or higher, let's say, unsigned, less than or equal, greater than, less than, greater equal, less equal, always, and never, that is a condition reserved to, let's say, the microprocessor. Corresponding to all these conditions, we have the real flag that is set just to test that the situation occurred. For example, in case of testing the equality, we have to see if the zero flag is one, or in case we are looking for the activation of the carry, we have to see if the flag C is one, and so and so and so. In the last column, instead, we have the codification of the corresponding event, the corresponding condition, that, I repeat once more, does not correspond to the values of the flags in the current program status register. Instead, such a kind of codification simply represents a situation that is the condition under which we want or not to execute the instruction, and that will be included in the four most significant bits that belong to the instruction format. In the slide 56, we see the original ARM instruction set description of the instructions related to branch operation. They are called branch and branch with link, and they are only executed if a suitable condition is true. Also, these instructions contain the condition that will trigger their execution in the four most significant bits, and they have an operating code 101 and a bit that distinguishes between a branch to an address or a branch with the link. This is equivalent to call a subroutine. In other words, a branch with link writes the old program counter into the link register R14 of the current bank, and the program counter value written into the register is adjusted to allow for the prefetch and contains the address of the instruction following the branch and link instruction. Note that the current program status register is not saved with the PC. to return from the routine called with branch and link, it will be necessary to execute move PC R14, that is, it will be necessary to transfer the content of R14 in the program counter if the link register is still valid for the use, that is, if it has not overwritten or if it is not necessary to jump elsewhere. In the slide 57, some examples of usage of the branch instruction are shown. The first is a theoretically useless instruction that branches always to the same address. BAL here, where here is the label, that is the address in memory of the present instruction, performs a branch under the condition all, that is always, to the address that follows the instruction definition. Notice that the object code of the instruction is in hexadecimal EAFFFFE, where E, if you look at the previous table we have presented, is the condition that codifies the always condition. A is 1010, since 101 is the opcode of the branch, and 0 is the link bit, since in this case we have no link to be performed. FFFFFE is basically the offset that we have to add to the program counter to jump in the proper location. The second instruction, branch there, is a simple example that shows a branch that definitively modifies the program counter with the address of the instruction at the label there. The following couple of instructions must be considered due to the fact that the first executes a comparison, that is a subtraction, and the second branches if the previous comparison sets the equal flag in the CPSR. The branch is at the label thread, that is a suitable instruction that must be executed. BL is the branch and link, so the program counter will be set with the address of the subroutine sub plus ROM, and the R14 will be charged with the address immediately following the address of the branch and link, that is the present program counter plus 4. And finally, we have another couple of instructions, adds R11 and branch and link CC to a subroutine, that wanted to highlight the possibility of a branch and link under a condition, that is carry flag cleared, due to the previous instruction that has been executed, the immediately previous instruction, like add with S postfix, that is the sum of 1 to R1 could set the clear flag. In that case, the following branch and link must be executed. Another example of C code into which the if condition is verified just to execute a piece of code or another piece of code that performs a subtraction. Just to take a look to the if implementation, we see that the address of the variable A is charged in R4 and then the correspondent content in R0. Then the address of the variable B is loaded in R4 and the correspondent content in R1. And we perform the comparison between R0 and R1, and if this comparison sets the less equal flag, we have the branch to the label F block that correspond to a sequence of instructions into which EX is set to 5 and Y is the result of C+D. Otherwise, the value of X will be the subtraction of C minus D, as shown by those assembly instructions that at this point of the course we understand perfectly. But this example is interesting because it can be rewritten by exploiting the possibility of writing instructions with a postfix that expresses the condition under which the specific instruction could be executed. I'm referring to the content of the slide 61 and 62, into which you see a set of move, address, store, load, and more instruction with a postfix LT, and in the page 62, a set of instruction with the postfix greater equal. All these instructions will be executed the first block if the less than condition is verified. The second one, if the greater equal condition will be verified, always referring to the test we did by executing the comparison between A and B. So the comparison between the two registers R0 and R1 in the first example determined the jump to a label or to another label. In this case there is no jump, but simply the following instructions with the suffix that has been indicated will be executed depending on the content of the flag in the CPSR. In the slide 63, the interesting translation of the switch C construct is presented. I remember that the switch instruction analyzes the value of a variable, executing several possible fragments of code depending on the value that the variable assumes, and switching among the several options with the instruction case followed by the set of the possible values assumed by the variable under analysis. From each fragment of code, the execution of the code of the program will exit through the instruction break. The correspondent assembly version of such a kind of high-level instruction is based on a table of addresses to which corresponds the possibility of jumping somewhere in the memory space in suitable areas that will contain those, let's say, subroutine corresponding to the values that the variable we are analyzing will assume. Let's take a look at such a kind of idea, of concept, and we see that the first instruction is an address loading, in particular the address that corresponds to the variable test, the variable that we are analyzing, is loaded into the register R2, and then the content of the variable, that is the content of the memory location, is loaded into the register R0. Same procedure for the address of the table that contains in turn the addresses of the routines to be elaborated depending on the several values of the test variable. The address of the table is called switch tab and is loaded under is loaded into the register R1 by the address instruction. And now let's say the core of the design, that is, we load into the register R15, that is the program counter, the content of the memory location addressed by R0, that is the variable test, with the left shift logical to positions. This is because the addresses are word aligned, that is, are 32 bit wide, or if you want 4 bytes wide, and this means that the variable test is considered an index that must be multiplied by 4 to properly address the memory space, added to a base value, to a base address that is contained in R1, and this address is the address of the table switch tab. In other words, the variable will represent the offset that is necessary to add to the base address of the table to reach the correct memory locations location into which we find the address of the subroutine to which we need to jump. And the fact that we are jumping to that address is shown by the fact that that value is loaded into the program counter. The construction of the switch tab is performed through the directive DCD that associates to the address switch tab the name case 0, then to the following address case 1, and more and more and more. As many are the values that the test variable can assume. In other words, by executing such a directive, the memory address switch tab will contain the address case 0. The memory address switch tab plus 4 will contain the address case plus 1, case 1. Switch tab plus 8 will contain case 2, and more and more and more. And in turn, case 0, the address case 0, will contain the first instruction of the code that must be executed when the variable test is equal to 0. In the address case 1, we will have the code that must be executed when the test variable is 1, and etc. for all the possible values that the variable test can assume. Such an idea is very similar to what you have already seen in the previous courses, for example, for the MIPS assembly language, and provides a main benefit. That is, all the addresses of all the routines are concentrated into a unique table, that is, in this case, called the switch tab. The code that is necessary to be executed for every particular value of the variable is spread throughout the memory, depending, of course, on the available space that will be found by the loader linker of the operative system. This is an important issue because if we don't construct such a mechanism, it will be necessary that we anticipately, we know in advance the dimension of the routines that must be executed in all the cases, and we allocate overall memory area that will contain all the routines without the possibility at that point to modify them in case we need it, or otherwise allocating a enough large memory area to consider also the possibility that those routines in the life of the code must be modified, maybe enlarged. The solution that is instead implemented in this case is very polite, is very clear. Don't bring any spread of memory, and it is also very easy to understand because let's say all the cases are concentrated into a specific memory area, and it is very easy to take under control all the situations that are managed. The specific management of that situation will be, let's say, organized in another memory area with all the space we have at our disposal, because the problem of the allocation in that case will be left to the linker loader. More or less, the situation is similar when we have to manage interrupts routine. Instead of switching among the possible values of the variable test, we will, let's say, switch among the possible interrupt conditions caused by internal situations or external signals that come from external devices connected to the microprocessor itself. This is a well-known organization of the interrupt management that is called vectorization of the interrupt routine.